This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So Beto's hitting the college circuit in Pennsylvania. Democrats are realizing that if they're ever going to win the White House back, they got to come to Pennsylvania. Smart. Because they have to win. Their message does not resonate here. I mean, yeah, it resonates on college campuses, but that's about it. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli. At some point today, I want to discuss the Toy Story 4 trailer with you. As you know, I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, so I'm very, very acutely aware, sensitive, perhaps some would say overly sensitive to propaganda in movies and TV and books and whatnot for kids. So I am curious if you've had a chance to watch the trailer. Watch it. It's obviously the fourth installation of one of the most successful animation movies in the history of movies, Toy Story 4 with Tom Hanks and a bunch of other people in there, Tim Allen. So anyway, we'll talk about that at some point. But the president just wrapped up a press conference with the Brazilian president, and CNN's very upset that the Brazilian president said the words fake news. Very upset by that. You know, of course, they're not talking about Venezuela, which is actually what the core of the message was today, that Venezuela, it's a horrific place. They don't have any water. There's no food. There's no electricity. There's no running water. There's no air conditioning. There's nothing. And people are just suffering over there. The president made that point today. And I kid you not, because I had CNN on, and CNN won't even touch it. They keep focusing on the Brazilian president calling them fake news. And then a couple of what they called softball questions by the Daily Caller. That's it. They keep saying the same thing over and over again. And they have John Avlon on with his incredibly coiffed hair to come on and confirm to them that, yeah, the president's calling them fake news again. How about we talk about Venezuela, shall we? It's interesting to me that nobody wants to discuss this except for us. The reason why, of course, is because you have a lot of Democrats running for president, all who have something in common, that thing being socialism. Now, they try to fancy it. They try to, you know, cover it up a little bit by saying things like, well, no, I'm not for the Venezuelan socialism. I'm for it'd be much more Scandinavian socialism. I like what they do in Sweden and Norway. Those are not socialist countries, though. That's the difference. In fact, some economic studies put those countries as more economically free than the United States of America. Turns out we have a lot of regulations, you know. A lot of regulations on businesses, for example. When Democrats run around and say, I'm not a socialist, or I am a socialist, but I'm a democratic socialist, they want you to believe, even though you're not going to fall for it because you're too smart, they want you to believe that what they're offering is something that's never been tried before in the world, or only tried in little places like Sweden and Norway. But that's it. This has been the ongoing propaganda. I remember this from college. I do. I remember sitting in my dorm room and listening to a friend of mine who was an outright socialist explain to me, the problem is it's never been tried correctly. You've heard this too. I know you've heard this, and you're shaking your head right now. If you've got a kid who just came home from college, or you remember your college days, somebody who has long hair and smells like patchouli just explained to you at some point, or your son or your daughter, it just hasn't been tried right. Communism's great, but the problem is it's been tried by all these dictators. We just need the right person to implement it. And as they say that, inevitably, they give up the jig. You know, the jig is up. It's not about the fact that only crazy people have tried it. It's the fact that only crazy people will try it. And in order for you to have a system like that, you have to take away freedom. You have to. Nobody voluntarily chooses socialism. Nobody voluntarily chooses communism. They don't. They really don't. If they did, then the Soviet Union would still be communist. China, which is, certainly, it's a communist system, but the people there are not free. I don't know if they had a free and fair election, what the Chinese people would do. I know the people of Venezuela, if they had their say, would love to have a change right now going on. But as Democrats are running for president, and they're all embracing socialism, but they all say, yes, but not like any other socialism you've ever seen before. Remind yourself, it is exactly like every other socialism you've ever seen before. It's exactly the same. This is not a new plot here. This is just a rerun. But when the media focuses on Venezuela, then they talk about socialism and they bring out the reality of socialism, which is that it's a failed economic system. It doesn't work. It's never worked anywhere it's tried. It's just never worked. Now, there might be socialist programs that work. For example, I don't know if you'd say public transportation is a system that works. I guess maybe in some places. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a socialist system. I've rode that damn river line for years. And I've never once had anybody check my ticket. That's the little train that goes from Camden to Trenton, you know, back and forth. And you're supposed to buy a $1.60 ticket and you validate it. And the validators come along, the ticket checkers, and they check your ticket. Nobody's ever checked my ticket. My wife and I joke about this. My father-in-law and Patrick are going to take the train today because we're going to a Flyers game tonight. And I bought him tickets because I'm a responsible person. And I said to my father-in-law, Jerry, make sure you validate it before you get on the train, but nobody's going to check. And nobody's going to check. It's basically now a socialized system. Get on the train and ride it. Ride it for free. And maybe a couple poor schlubs will continue to buy tickets and subsidize it for the rest of us. But so in my mind, that's an incredibly failed system. It's a giant failure right there. That dumb River Line train. It's a joke. And there's a lot of situations like that where you see with public transit that are jokes. But the left often points to that as going, well, this is an example of socialism. No, because people are going to capitalist jobs. They're riding the train to go to a capitalist job. The only reason why they're on that train is for that purpose. And if they're buying tickets, it's for that purpose. If they're not, it's for another purpose, and you're not checking the tickets. And the truth is that if there's a socialist program, and people will point to Medicare or Social Security, programs that people pay into, which then provide these blankets of protection, they're rife with problems, they're rife with waste, they're rife with fraud and abuse and all the other things. But that doesn't make a country socialist to have a program that is socialist in nature. And I'm sorry, but paying into Social Security doesn't change the fact that the government also pays in, and you know, it's there to protect. You can't opt out of it. It's mandatory. My view on something like this is, can I get out? Can I opt out? No? Then don't tell me that it's a free system. It's not. If I'm forced to be in something and I don't want to be, then that's the very definition of socialism. Because I know somebody will call up and go, no, we pay into Medicare. We pay into Social Security. That doesn't change the fact that so does the government pay in, and you can't leave it. And you are there to provide for everybody else. And I have to pay into it now to take care of people, and then people pay into it to take care of me. Of course, it's a very, very basic social system. But the United States is not a socialist country. Now, the left would love to expand Medicare for all. You've seen that. You've heard that term, Medicare for all. They would also love to expand Social Security for everybody by being able to essentially now have government provided social safety net at any point in your life, whether you want to work or not. So they want to expand those programs, very, very expensive programs. And the problem is, of course, is that every time you start expanding government programs and every time you start taking away people's ability to opt in or opt out, you creep towards socialism very, very quickly. It's a fast creep, actually. And then the media will highlight Venezuela and remind people you don't want to go down this road. Except the media won't highlight Venezuela and remind people you don't want to go down this road. Instead, what they'll do, what they're still doing on CNN, is going on about how dare Trump call the media fake news. Can we get off of that already by now? Jim Acosta is not in a press internment camp somewhere. He's not being tortured by Trump's gulag guys who will go after the media. Like, enough. But you see, what he said with the president of Brazil today is very important to understand. The two countries highlighting one of the most failed countries in the history of the, at least recent history, and highlighting how that system at one time, Venezuela was a beautiful place. Venezuela was a beautiful place at one point. And now it is an absolute hellhole, for lack of a better word. And that could happen here. Of course it could happen here. It absolutely could happen here. And I'll tell you something. It will happen here if we elect somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Beto O'Rourke or Cory Booker, or name a Democrat who won't let that happen. I guess that's the question for you. Name a Democrat who won't let that happen. It's not that they want to be Venezuela necessarily. It's just that whenever you take away freedom and ingenuity from people and you take away the ability for people to make their own decisions, inevitably there's corruption at the top. Inevitably there's people who will still profit off of that system. The people will be miserable. There's no incentive to work. There's no incentive to dream. There's no incentive to try. The incentive's gone. The basic fundamentals begin to break down as prices soar, and they inevitably do. These systems don't work. And Venezuela should be something that everybody's talking about, highlighting right now and going, look! But they can't. Because to do that would hurt all the Democrats who are running for president, offering all their pie-in-the-sky nonsense to everybody. How can we, the richest country on earth, not provide guaranteed health care for all? How can we not, they'll say? How can we not provide every American a guaranteed income if they don't want to work? How can we not do that? And on it goes. And I'll tell you, as you travel around Pennsylvania, as I have done many, many times in my political career, certainly, and you see places throughout this state, remind yourself of this. The Democrats will stick to Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. They'll stick to those places with the same tired message. And outside of those places, you have a lot of people who, well, you know, coal is very important to them. And part of what the problem is with the left's plan for destroying capitalism under the guise of climate change is they have to get rid of nuclear power, coal power, any other power that they argue hurts the earth in any way, shape, or form. So they got to get rid of those powers. You get rid of that kind of energy source. You get rid of those energy sources. It's the number one way to halt capitalism in its tracks or to destroy capitalism in its tracks. I've often said electricity is the thing in modern time. It is the one invention that has done more to lift people out of poverty, extend the quality of life, extend life expectancy. Electricity, think about it. Every time you go to a hospital, notice how many things are plugged into an outlet. And notice how many life-saving inventions and how many life-saving medicines are made thanks to electricity and how many life-saving new machines and procedures and the fact that there's a light over the doctor as he's operating on somebody. Those things can't happen without electricity. It's why around the world, you know, some of the most developing nations around the world beg to have electricity. They beg for it. Their people are dying of dysentery. And the modern left says, no, sorry, in the name of climate justice, you can't have any. You can't have it. To me, that's the ultimate white privilege, by the way. When a bunch of lefty elitists like Beto O'Rourke tell underdeveloped nations in the world, no, you can't have electricity in your country. You can't do it. We're telling you no on behalf of the climate justice crowd. But nobody ever points that out. They never point that out. And the left will achieve their ends by doing something that goes all the way back to Franklin Roosevelt. I've told you before, this is not new. This is an old tired playbook. It goes all the way back, starting with Woodrow Wilson and the progressives in the 19-teens, and how they changed the Constitution to get rid of the states sending their senators to change it to a popular vote, the 16th Amendment with income tax, which then changed the game forever, all the way up to Franklin Roosevelt with Social Security and all his other nonsense, and then all the way up to Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society and the War on Poverty, and then all the way up to Barack Obama and Obamacare, and now here we are today. And what Franklin Roosevelt tried to do, what FDR tried to do when he wasn't putting Japanese and German people and Italian people in prison camps against their will, Americans against their will without due process. He also tried to pack the Supreme Court. Exactly what the left is offering today. You know, the this political race that's coming up here, Beto O'Rourke, Beto, he's up in at Penn State. And he's up there campaigning today in Penn State, and he's saying a lot of dumb things, but the college kids love it, of course, as you know. David Sirota, who used to, he actually came on the show once a couple years ago. He's now Bernie Sanders' communications director. But back in December, he was writing for The Guardian, and he wrote this piece. Beto O'Rourke frequently voted for Republican legislation, analysis reveals. Review of his six-year record in Congress shows Democrats frequently opposed their own party and supported bills that boosted the fossil fuel industry and Trump's immigration policy. So the quote-unquote journalist who wrote this for The Guardian is now Bernie Sanders' communications director. All right, this is how this works. I've seen this many, many times, as have you, people who are journalists who wind up getting political jobs and vice versa. But the point of this is that, you see, they wanted to destroy Beto as being a moderate. The key is that the worst thing you can be called right now as a Democrat is a moderate. That's it. You could be accused of doing all kinds of crazy, kooky things. But if you're accused of being a moderate, it is the worst thing they can say about you right now. I kid you not. So they went and they reviewed 167 votes that Beto has cast in the House in opposition to the majority of his own party during his six-year tenure in Congress. Many of these votes were not progressive dissents, but instead votes to help pass Republican-sponsored legislation. So they go in here and how Beto did all these different things, and it goes on and on. He attacked consumer protection. He helped the fossil fuel industry. He was in favor of helping that horrible Customs and Border Patrol. Of course, this is all nonsense, right? You know, these are votes that are usually tacked on to other things. One of the hardest problems with getting elected to the White House from either Congress or the U.S. Senate is you have votes. You got a record. And a lot of times bills are jammed together, as you know, and things are put in other things. They shouldn't be there. Something I've been talking about for years. But isn't it interesting? The same attack point on Joe Biden, Beto O'Rourke, it's a two-pronged attack point. White guy, moderate. Now, there's nothing moderate about Beto O'Rourke. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing moderate about this guy at all. Not for a second. But you see where the party's going in the sense that you could be called, like, the stuff that is said about this guy on a daily basis, he runs with it. But you call him a moderate, you stop the presses right then and there. And think about that. Just for one moment, think about what that says about the Democratic Party and the left in general and where they've moved. There was a time when we heard no labels and purple and everybody should be in the middle and la, la, la and happy, happy days. Now it is a slur against a person. It's a slur. You know, and I've been pretty consistent on this. I'm not a big fan of moderation. I like people to take a stand and then fight for that stand in life. That doesn't mean you don't compromise on things. I just think that the idea of moderation is a joke. I mean, people who identify as moderates, usually if you sit down and talk to them long enough, you find out they really lean to the left a whole lot more than they lean to the right. That's typically how it works. Or they think they're a moderate and you probe them and you find out that they're actually not because they just never thought about something a certain way. But somebody who is very astute at politics and describes himself as a moderate, my sense of it is, from what I've seen, they're 9 times out of 10, they're on the left of the spectrum, of the political spectrum. But there was a time when everybody was told that was the way to go, right? You know, we just need more moderation. We need more moderates in our politics. Now, every Democrat, I want to think about it. Every Democrat who's ever had a moderate position, quote unquote moderate position or anything, has to atone for it. So Kirsten Gillibrand has to atone for the time as a congresswoman she was ever pro-Second Amendment. Beto O'Rourke has to atone for, as a Texas congressman, any votes he did to help out the big oil industry. And atone for it they will. They'll, by coming out there and saying crazier things. Well, yes, maybe one point I was pro-Second Amendment, but now I believe that all guns should be banned and destroyed on site. Or maybe I did vote for the fossil fuel industry, but now I say, shut them down, make it all solar. You know, they wind up having to go nuttier as they justify their one-time moderate positions on something. I mean, it's hysterical to watch. And then you look at these guys and they jump all over each other trying to say, well, no, you're not. You're really a moderate. You're really a moderate. You're not a progressive. So you have to come out and say, I'm the most progressive of the bunch. Yesterday, Joe Biden, I'm the most progressive candidate ever. But at the same time, they have to say they're not a socialist. They are, for the most part. But they can't say they're a socialist. They don't want to because some of them are politically astute enough to know that if you get labeled a socialist in the primary, in order to win the primary, you have zero chance of winning in the general election. Zero. The country does not want the socialist nonsense that they're selling. Period. They don't want it. And look, I mock Cory Booker, and I will continue to mock Cory Booker, because he's not the same Cory Booker that he used to be. He is now what I call Count Grandstandula. He's a grandstander. He's Spartacus. He's got his Tears of Rage band, and it's all about Cory Booker. But he's a smart enough politician to know, from the streets of Newark, New Jersey, not Newark, Delaware, but Newark, New Jersey, in the street fights he had to battle the Democratic Party back then, he's smart enough to know that in a general election, you got to at least be able to pretend. You got to be able to pretend at least. Look, I'll tell you something. Cory Booker is a grandstander, but the one thing he's not is a dumb guy. He's not a dumb guy. He's, in fact, I think he's too smart for this nonsense, this little act that he's running around doing for the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, he was smart enough to make money while he was mayor of Newark to have his law firm profit off of the city and the city's utilities and authorities. I mean, that's kind of smart, right? I mean, smart enough as mayor to ensure that city contracts still went to his law firm. I'm sure we'll hear a lot of in-depth media profiles about that. But this is Count Grandstangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band.
Are you a socialist?
I am not a socialist.
Well, you've got people in the party who are.
I am a Democrat. I believe in fundamental democratic principles. I believe that we need more democracy, not less. I believe all this money in politics is anti-democratic. I think gerrymandering is anti-democratic. Heck, I even watched an election where somebody won the majority of votes, got 3 million more.
Now, notice what he did there. He said, I'm not a socialist, I'm a Democrat. So he's acting like the question is, are you a member of the Socialist Party? Have you now or have you ever have been a member of the Socialist Party? But that's not actually what Chris Matthews is asking him. But again, Corey's a smart guy, right? So he's able to quickly do some Jedi mind tricks and move on. What Chris Matthews should have done at the time was said, do you not believe in socialized medicine? Do you not believe in socialized healthcare? Do you not believe in a socialized income? Do you not believe in a socialized system to take care of people? I mean, those are the questions to follow up with. Not, are you a socialist? That's the easy get out of jail free card, because Bernie Sanders is. He's a registered socialist, or he says he is, or whatever he is. But there's a difference between being a socialist in the political party and then being a socialist from a philosophical point of view. And you know that, I know that, Booker knows that, Matthews knows that. This is just so Cory Booker can get it on the record. He goes, I am not a socialist, I'm a proud Democrat. And then blah, 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 blah. Nobody was asking. I mean, maybe Chris Matthews was to help his buddy out. I don't know, I guess. But what I'd like to know is, are you a socialist? Not are you a member of the... I understand which political party you're a member of. Are you a socialist? Do you believe in socialism? And he won't answer that question. Because if he does answer that question and he denounces socialism, then he's going to lose the primary. If he comes out and he endorses socialism, he's going to lose the general. You see the pickle that they're in right now? The pickle, back and forth, back and forth. But remember something. I said this yesterday. The Democrat Party will inevitably, if you let the river flow on its own, without any dams, without any sort of dikes out there to guide the water or the ships, it'll naturally go to the left. It'll naturally keep going left and left and left and left until inevitably it winds up back at where Karl Marx started. That's where inevitably they'll go. Left to their own devices and not having to worry about politics in its pure form, the Democrat Party of today will absolutely float down that river of socialism and wind up right at the doorstep of the guy who wrote the Communist Manifesto. Absolutely. But right now in America, you have to, as a Democrat, you've got to placate this kooky base who wants everything that they were promised from Karl Marx in their college dorm room when they were told by their hacky sack friends, it just hasn't been tried right, while at the same time trying to win over normal, sensible human beings in a general election. And good luck. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. A party that says the worst thing you can say about somebody is to call them a moderate. That's where we are right now with the Democratic Party. It's amazing to me. That's where we are.
Rizzioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.